Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you were with us last week, the last message, you know that we're speaking about the rapture, the catching away of the church, the catching away, the caught up of the church, and we acknowledged last week that this is a bit of a controversial teaching, although I believe that the Bible is very clear on it. I don't believe there's any doubt of if you study the scriptures and you be in an open-minded fashion in taking in the scriptures, I believe the Bible is very clear that the church will be caught away. We're going to be looking at that scripture, those scriptures here in just a minute, but I want to just quickly review the scriptures that we looked at last week and take you in your mind back to Leviticus 23, which is the chapter that speaks about the feasts of Israel. And of course, we know that after studying that chapter that there's seven major feasts of Israel, and each one of those feasts represents a part or a type and shadow of Jesus Christ's ministry, his life, his appearance, his coming, his return. And so all of those feasts, the seven feasts of Israel, they're all have been up until this point in time, they have every single one of them been literally fulfilled in the life and times of ministry of Jesus Christ. And we are in the point now where we're in the time of Pentecost, the fourth feast, which is a dispensation of the church when the Holy Spirit is poured out and all the saints are given the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. And so that is the fourth feast, the Feast of Pentecost. And so the dispensation of the church age is right now, and there are souls to be gathered. And I would just encourage each and every one of you listening to this broadcast today, if you are not out gathering souls for the kingdom, if you are a believer and you are not out gathering souls for the kingdom, I would encourage you to get going. Don't wait any longer. Jesus is coming back, and the end of the age is coming near. And so I just encourage each and every one of you to go into all the nations and maybe even just to down the block or to the town next to you. But just go and speak the word, pray for people in the name of Jesus Christ, pray for them, deliver them, heal them in the name of Jesus, cast out demons, all of that stuff. And as you do that, why, Jesus will bless you and you'll be fulfilling the Great Commission in your life. And that's what he calls us to do, and so that's what he expects us to do. And I praise the Lord for the open doors God has given us to go to the far nations of the earth, and I just pray that he'll give me more days to do that as I want to bring in more souls for the kingdom. I want to do more for the kingdom. I want to do more for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I'm sure he will do the same for you, to give you that desire and to give you that motivation to get out and go and bring in the lost into the kingdom of God. And so the fifth feast that is yet to come, the fifth, sixth, and seventh, are the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Trumpets speaks of the coming back of the Lord. That's the return of the Lord. And the trump shall sound, the return of the Lord. The trumpet always calls to battle. The trumpet calls to gather, to prepare for some adventure, to prepare for war, or to prepare for movement at a camp or whatever. In the Old Testament, the trumpets were blown, and the Israelites moved out, or they prepared for war. And so we have here in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, the anchor scripture regarding the rapture. Now, before reading this scripture, I want to admit to you that the word rapture occurs nowhere in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the Bible. There's other phrases that we use in Christian terminology and Christian theology that are not in the Bible, such as Trinity and other phrases. But the word that is used here is harpazo, the Greek word harpazo in this passage of scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. And that means to be caught up, to be caught away, and to be taken out of this world as Jesus Christ comes to gather up the church and to take them home with him. And I'm going to start here in verse 13 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, I do not want you, this is Paul speaking to the Thessalonican church, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him, will bring with Jesus, those who sleep or those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together, there's that word caught up, or harpazo, the Greek word harpazo, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then Paul concludes this passage of Scripture by saying in verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. And so we see several things as we dissect this passage of Scripture. We see several things here that Paul is trying to show the Thessalonians about those who have died. First of all, he says that Jesus died and he rose again, verse 14. That just as Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. In other words, those who have already passed away and believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they are going to rise again just as Jesus rose from the dead. And so Paul is saying this is their fate, this is their destiny, that their eventual abode, even for their bodies, will be in heaven. Their spirits and their souls are already in heaven as they abide with Jesus Christ at the point of death, but now their bodies are going to be taken up, and their bodies also will reside with the Lord in heaven. But then Paul starts talking about the order, who goes first and who goes last and who goes in between. He says here, verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, he's saying when Jesus comes back to gather up the saints, those who have believed in him, those who are already dead, those who are in the graves, that they will go first. They will go ahead of us, before us, as he gathers up his church. And then the Lord himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So he says that those who are dead in Christ, those who are already in the grave, that are passed away but believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they'll be caught up first, their bodies, and then those of us who are alive and remain, if we're still alive on this earth at the time Jesus comes back, then we'll go next and we'll all be caught up together, and we will always then be with the Lord from that point on. And Paul says, then comfort one another with these words. And so Paul was giving words for us to comfort each other by saying that God is going, Jesus is going to come back. God is going to send his son Jesus to come back and to gather up the church and to take all of the saints back to heaven in bodily resurrection, just as his son Jesus Christ was resurrected. Okay, well then the second point I want to make is, what kind of body will we have as we go out of the graves or taken off the earth? What kind of a body will we have? Well, Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, and starting in verse 20, Paul says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." In other words, Christ is the first of all creation to be given back to God. "For since by man came death, by man, Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming." In other words, the rapture at his coming. Jesus went first, and then those of us who are alive and remain, and the resurrection saints, then we will all go and be with the Lord. Verse 42 in 1 Corinthians 15, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man, Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." Well, what's Paul saying here? He's saying that the body that is resurrected is not going to be the same as the natural body, the earthly body, the body of dust. That body that went into the grave is just a seed. It's a corruptible seed. It's a mortal seed. And out of that body will come the immortal, the incorruptible, the resurrection body, the spiritual body, and it will be in the likeness of the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, you know, you're not going to be resurrected in your natural body. And so those of you who are worried about your family or friends who have been cremated and they will not be able to be resurrected in a bodily form, that it really is immaterial. That's not important. God has the DNA for their creation, and he will raise up their body, their spiritual body, irregardless of how they went into the grave. And of course, many people maybe have been burned alive. Many people have been lost at sea. There is no body anywhere for them to be recognized or to be found. And so as a result, that isn't an impediment to God. He has the DNA for them, and their spiritual body will be raised on that day of the rapture. Their spiritual body, if they were a believer in Jesus Christ, they will be raised when Jesus comes back to gather up the saints. And the verses here, I want to repeat again, verse 51 and 52, Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That is, he's saying, we're not all going to die. Some of us, we're going to be walking around on the streets of our local town or out on the tractor or whatever. Paul says, some of you, you're not going to see physical death, because you're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. You're going to be taken up and caught up in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, verse 52, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. And then verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And that is a statement from Isaiah 25, verse 8 in the Old Testament, where Isaiah says that he, and this is a prophetic passage, it says he, the Messiah, will swallow up death forever, and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Well, it's interesting to note that this scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, speaks of the last trumpet, that the trumpet will sound just as it did in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, that Jesus will come back and the trumpet will sound. And so the trumpet is calling the saints. It is heralding the coming of Jesus Christ. And so just as the Feast of Trumpets represents in the Old Testament, represents that coming day of the Lord when he comes back to gather the church to himself, so both of these passage scriptures resound with the idea that the trumpet will sound, that trumpet is going to give the call, the clarion call, that Jesus is coming back to gather up his saints. Well, third, I want to talk about the Old Testament type and shadow very briefly. And you would think that if there is a clear teaching on the rapture or the catching away of the saints in the New Testament, that there would be an Old Testament type and shadow of this event. And certainly we have found that in Genesis 5, verse 22, where it talks about Enoch. And Enoch, E-N-O-C-H, it says, and after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And Genesis 5:23. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so just as Enoch walked with God, it says he walked with God for 300 years. And so he must have walked very closely with God. He was a man after God's own heart. He was closely aligned with God. And then it says in verse 24 that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. So there's a clear description of the rapture, an Old Testament type and shadow of the rapture, that Enoch was walking down the road one day, or I don't know what he was doing, but he was obviously just living his life and all of a sudden he was gone. And that was an Old Testament type and shadow of the rapture. And the second Old Testament type and shadow, it was in the departure of Elijah, the prophet Elijah, 2 Kings 2:11. Then it happened as they, that is Elijah and Elisha, continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. And so just as Elijah and Elisha were walking along, they were walking along and they were talking to each other, it says as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared and horses of fire, and it separated the two of them, and Elijah was taken up in the chariot of fire, and Elisha saw him no more. Well, beloved, I hope you take this teaching to heart today, and I hope that you prepare yourself spiritually and physically and in every way for the coming of the Lord, and just start making your heart right and get ready to be caught up together with the saints. If Jesus were to come back tonight, if he were to appear tonight to gather up the saints, would you be ready? Are you ready where you want to be? Are you full of repentance and just grateful and thankful for the Lord for the death that he died on the cross for you, the blood that he shed for you? Are you ready to join the saints as they are gathered up by the Lord into the air and be taken up to heaven? If you're not, you need to get ready. You need to get down on your knees and do business with the Lord. If you're trapped in a lifestyle that has separated you from God, I pray you get down on your knees. Just confess your sin to the Lord today. Repent of it. Ask the Lord to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus will set you free from all unrighteousness. And regardless of whether you believe in the rapture or not, you need to get ready. And it may be some of you are saying, well, that rapture talk is just a bunch of talk, but I can assure you it's just as real as the chair you're sitting on. And I would assure you that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to gather up the saints. And so I would urge you all to be ready. I would urge you all to get right with the Lord. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never committed your life to Him and asked Him to come in and indwell you with the Holy Spirit of God, if you've never done that, you need to do that first and foremost. You need to start there today. Just ask the Lord to come in and fill up your heart. Ask the Lord to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. As you do that, He will be faithful and true to cleanse you. He will be faithful and true. And all of the promises of God are yes and amen, and they will be for you. And if you make a decision in that regard to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just let me know. Drop me a line, pureprairie@hotmail.com, or if there's anything else that you'd like to discuss or to be on the ministry newsletter, just let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we'll be happy to respond, to pray with you over your prayer requests, and to get you started on your walk with the Lord. The time is growing short. Beloved, Jesus is coming back. The time is growing short. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Move as the Holy Spirit has prompted you today through this radio broadcast. Move today and let the Spirit of the living God come reside in you. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. See you again next week.